Hello and welcome to International Media with me, Amanda Morrow. As life in Brussels returns to normal following a four-day security lockdown, we look at how residents responded to the terror alert by flooding Twitter with funny pictures of cats. Plus, we speak to the team behind a campaign that's taking Britain's The Sun tabloid to task over irresponsible journalism. This following the furor over Monday's front page splash claiming that one in five British Muslims is sympathetic to jihadists. There was the Darth Vader cat, another aiming a rifle, and the picture of a tabby staring at her lion-like reflection in a puddle. All Twitter posts bearing the hashtag Brussels Lockdown. When the Belgian capital, home to the main seat of the European Parliament, was placed under the maximum terror alert, schools, universities and the metro were closed and people were told to stay indoors. Above all, residents were urged not to share police positions on social media. Rather than give in to fear, Belgians, with the help of neighbouring countries, responded with humour. It all began with the image of a mellow-looking ginger-haired cat called Mozart, whose picture was tweeted by his Dutch owner, Hugo Janssen.
I read all the tweets about not telling where the police are, where the action was in Brussels. So I thought, okay, well, no policeman, here's a picture of my cat. Just because the internet is full of cats, everybody loves cats, the funny cats and all the movies with cats acting strange and all that sort of stuff. So I thought, well, a cat is a nice thing, it's a funny animal, and I think cats on Twitter is something nice in between all the terror and all the fear and all the horrible things going on in Brussels.
Have you been surprised at how this cat's phenomenon took off after you posted your tweet?
Yes, I was really, really surprised. I didn't expect to get this much attention of it. I expected to get from my followers one or two cats back, a picture of, well, this is how my cat looks like right now. But it went a little bit out of control, actually. When I used the hashtag, at first there were only the Dutch people who reacted to my tweet. And when I tweeted in English, also the Belgium and the France people got to see it, and then it really exploded.
And have you had a good laugh yourself at the tweets that have been posted?
Yeah, when I saw the tweets getting more and more every minute and all the funny, funny pictures, I really started laughing on the couch with my girlfriend, just showing each other funny pictures of what people were tweeting. It was actually hilarious. It's fun to read all the cat tweets and all the funny pictures and the texts around them. We should not get the terrorists to frighten us. I think we need to live our own lives and we should do everything we love. And we have to say everything we think and we stand behind everything we tweet. And we don't have to let the terrorists interfere with our lives.
Well, Janssen's idea proved so popular that any potential Islamist target hoping to glean information on the ongoing police operation would have had to filter through thousands of cat memes first. It's an example of the media being used to fight terror. Sadly, this hasn't always been the case. French prosecutors are examining whether the media endangered the life of a graphic designer who hid under a sink at a Paris printing shop to escape the Charlie Hebdo attackers. Several TV and radio stations alerted the attackers to the fact that someone was hiding. A similar investigation is underway after a complaint by several people who hid in a basement fridge of a Paris kosher supermarket that was attacked on the same day. Gilles Bordelais is a resident of Brussels, where he works for an MEP in the European Parliament. He says the city has a reputation for being laid back.
The one thing that I would say about Brussels is definitely that it's quite relaxed. I mean, a few of the tensions you would expect in big cities that have a mixed population, because Brussels has a very mixed population, you see all kind of colors here, is that there may be some tensions between the communities. And this is something I really don't feel here. You take the bus and you look everybody in the eyes and everybody is taking part. I have kids. I have to take the bus with my kids regularly. The buses are pretty shaky. There is always somebody helping out, catching the kids if they fall, things like that. There's a great sense of being together. It's all a big village, if you want.
Bordelet also points out that during times of crisis, when information is restricted, social media offers a way to connect. He says that seeing the show of support from other parts of Europe during the Brussels lockdown was a boost.
It's nice to see that, you know, you're not alone in your situation. The tweets themselves were then picked up by other media. I had a cousin from Paris sending me a text, an SMS, about the cat tweet. So it reached that far. You know, it went the whole way around. I'm sending a tweet. It's get picked up by some online media in a separate web page. It reaches the traditional media. It reaches relatives of mine, and then they text me. So it did go around.
Well, as a symbol of their gratitude following the security operation, the Belgian Federal Police tweeted a big bowl of cat food for, quote, all the cats who helped us out. Also responding with humour to a tense situation this week were the British, after the Sun tabloid ran the controversial front page splash claiming that one in five Muslims has sympathy with people travelling to fight with jihadists in Syria. The story was based on information gleaned from a survey commissioned by The Sun. It's prompted a huge backlash from the left-wing media in Britain, as well as sarcastic response in the Twitter sphere, plus an unprecedented number of complaints to the country's independent press watchdog. Many newspapers took issue with the poll's methodology and with the use of the word sympathy, an ambiguous term. John Madden is a digital media consultant in Cheltenham, England. He's part of a team that runs an online campaign called The Sun Apologies, which works to highlight the tabloid's journalistic misdemeanours. He says the poll's questions were skewed and respondents were never actually asked if they had sympathy for jihadists, just young people going off to fight in Syria.
I think it's irresponsible to do a poll where you haven't got a control group. I think surveying Muslims on their own really doesn't give an accurate picture. Now, had they had a control group where they'd maybe done a similar poll of Christians, you know, Jewish, Sikhs, Hindus, whatever, I think then you could start to then draw parallels and come up with some more robust conclusions than they did with this. Survation, the guys that ran the poll for The Sun actually did a similar poll for Sky earlier in the year for non-Muslims, and the results were pretty much similar to what The Sun had for the Muslim poll. So, you know, I'm not really sure what sort of conclusions you can draw from that, other than if they're going to go to whole hog, say that non-Muslims, one in five of those also support ISIS, which of course is blatantly untrue as well.
Much in the spirit of the Belgian cats, The Sun's front page led to a mocking response on social media. The one in five Muslims hashtag has been trending, and it's flooded with hilarious statistics about what one in five Muslims may think or do. For example, one in five Muslims think Batman is performing the evening prayer. One in five Muslims are French, if they score, otherwise they're Arab. One in five Muslims force religion onto their pets. You get the picture. Humour aside, Madden warns The Sun's front page also risks inciting dangerous reactions from others, with the posting of the story by the right-wing Britain First political party attracting a swathe of inflammatory comments. He says the poll was so controversial, it made the pollsters themselves nervous.
A good illustration also, I think, of how wrong The Sun were to... I wouldn't say that the poll was wrong, but the conclusions they've come to and the front page that they published. An illustration of how wrong that is that, first of all, YouGov, who would normally run their polls, were asked to do this and didn't want anything to do with it because they had serious concerns about the way the poll would be published and how the results would be published. Survation, who did do the poll, have now released a statement saying they distance themselves from it and that they don't endorse the way that the Sun have published their findings or the way they've been interpreted. And I think also what's interesting, you might not have seen this, but the Times of London issued an apology based on that story. Now, what they did, rather bizarrely, they ran the same story a day after The Sun published it. So, you know, they would have been aware of the backlash. But they published the same story with a very similar headline saying that one in five Muslims supported ISIS. Now, today they've come out and actually issued a correction and an apology saying that this was misleading and untrue. And I think that really only sort of goes to really put pressure on The Sun here to do the same.
That brings us to the end of International Media with me, Amanda Morrow.